This is a time the world celebrates Easter, and Easter is when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the most powerful event in history. Now, I'm going to talk to you about why and everything, but right on the other hand, the verse that we're getting ready to read tells us, let's just read it, in fact, Ephesians chapter 1. He wants us to know, Paul prayed this prayer, that we as the church would know the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward, who believe. So that power was not just towards Jesus to raise him from the dead. What God was doing was something for us. Now let's pay very close attention, because everything we say to lay the foundation for what we're getting ready to say is very important. If you miss the foundation, then it's not going to work right. The understanding won't come correctly. But what he was doing was something for us. This is not just an event for Jesus. You know, a lot of Christians, they celebrate today that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's certainly true. But yet, right on the other hand, they have a Jesus that is victorious, who's seated, who's way up there, who's at the right hand of the Father, who's blessed and everything. But they leave, the way it's preached so often, they leave us way down here, still defeated. But that's not what was going on. Let's read very closely here. What the exceeding greatness, this is verse 19, Ephesians 1. I think I might not have said the verse. But verse 19 of Ephesians 1, he wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power, of God's power, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which, notice, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath given and put all things under his feet. Now the feet are in the body, and we'll see that. And gave him to be the head, he's the head, over all things to the church. One translation says, for the benefit of the church. He's the head of the body, and he did what he did for the benefit of the church. And so, we have, and according to Romans chapter number 8, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. This is so easy to miss. It's so easy to just think about something that's over on the other side of the room real quickly and miss something. But listen very carefully. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In all that he got when he raised from the dead. Now, I made that statement, and you might not understand it, but as we go today, you'll understand it very much more. All right? Everything Jesus got in the resurrection was to usward. The power that raised him from the dead is ours. It was not just directed towards Jesus. It was directed towards us. It raised him and us, listen very carefully, from the dead. We are joint heirs with Christ of power. The power that raised him from the dead was directed towards us. And we are heirs of that power. God was not doing something just because Jesus needed it. Jesus did not die for his sin. He was doing what he was doing for our sin. Jesus didn't die as a martyr. He died as our substitute. He died that we could be identified with him in all that he got. All right, listen very carefully. You'll miss some things, but pay attention. We want to understand two spiritual laws that we're going to see in the Bible today. One is called identification. The other one is called substitution. And both spiritual laws were used by God to redeem mankind in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. God was not just doing something for Jesus. He was doing something for man. In fact, what God was working, he was working something out. Notice it says that he wrought in Christ. He was doing something in Christ. The word wrought means work. He was working something in Christ. But he was working it not just for Christ. He was working it for us. Are you with me? What God did in Christ, he was doing for us in his great plan of redemption. Notice he said what he worked. In other words, some translations say what happened. What he did, other translations say. What he worked out, other translations say. So the next few verses show us, after it says what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, the next few verses show us that he was not just working it for Christ, he was working it for us. That's what makes this resurrection thing, the resurrection of Jesus, such a powerful thing. Now you might say, what's the big deal about the resurrection? We see people in the Old Testament that were raised from the dead. We do. We see people in the Old Testament raised from the dead. We see people in the New Testament. Jesus raised people from the dead whenever he ministered on the earth. The apostles raised people from the dead. There was a young girl named Tabitha. Peter raised her from the dead. She was dead. She had died. What's the big deal? Other people have raised from the dead in history. We even had a man raised from the dead in our ministry. Actually, two people, if you want to really count them. Two people raised from the dead in our ministry. What's the big deal about Jesus raising from the dead? What was different about his resurrection that makes this a big deal? Well, I'll tell you what was different. What God was doing for Jesus in raising him from the dead, he was doing for all mankind. Jesus was our substitute. He was our stand-in. He was identifying with the whole realm of sinful man, that we, sinful man, might be able to be identified with Jesus in all God was doing for him. Now, let me say some things. There's really only two men in history that God sees in one sense of the word. Don't misunderstand me. There's other senses. You can say he sees all of us. But in the one sense of the word, there's only two men that God sees in history. Number one, the first Adam. Number two, Jesus, the second Adam. And the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, and we're going to turn to this. I'm going to read this because it's very, very important. It says that in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so the gift for the judgment was by one, that's Adam, to condemnation, but the free gift is of many of offenses unto justification. We had all sinned. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam's sin, death, that's not just physical death, but spiritual death, reigned by one. In other words, because of Adam. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Listen, everything that Adam fell into, all of mankind fell into. When Adam fell into sin, all mankind fell into sin. You can find Adam's condition in every nation of the world today. They're all sinful. They're all bound. They're all sick. They're all broke, busted, disgusted. They're all wanting to kill themselves. They're all wanting to kill somebody. They've got a nature. They've got a fallen condition. You can find it in every nation. Here in America, you can find it in Africa. You can find it in Asia. You can find it in every nation of the world. It's a fallen condition. And it all got in through one man. God identified all men with one man, Adam, in the fall, and all were counted as sinners. You understand? And the very law that caused every man to become a sinner, That law God used to redeem every man and make every man that puts their faith in this second man, Jesus Christ, that man becomes the substitute for every man, and every man who receives him becomes everything Jesus was or Jesus is. Everything he got in the resurrection, Jesus got in the resurrection, man gets when they put their faith in him. Remember it said that God, well, the power, he wants us to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's towards us, notice, who believe. It's not just towards anyone, although anyone can believe. But yet it's towards anyone, in other words, it's faith that makes it work. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're talking about two spiritual laws that caused man, that God used, that he used to redeem mankind. He took the very laws that made all men sinners, and he used those laws to make every man who will put their faith in Christ a new creation. Are you with me? And so this resurrection was a big deal, because what God was doing in Christ, he was doing for every man. You understand? He wasn't just doing it for Jesus. He was doing it for every man. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, down and through here. Like, for example, we said here, let's go back here to Ephesians again, chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20. It says, which he wrought in Christ. He wants us to know the power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power that he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. You see, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and the resurrection of Jesus was such a big deal because all the forces of hell opposed it. The resurrection of Jesus was opposed by Satan. Jesus was held a prisoner under Satan's domain because he became our substitute and was taking our penalty, and that's spiritual death as well as physical death. Jesus took that condition and took that penalty and went into the bowels of hell and became, the Bible said, he became sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So there's identification. Jesus identified with man in every part of his sinful condition. Everything in man's sinful condition, Jesus identified with it, including Satan's dominion over Jesus because he took our sin. See, in sin, Satan has dominion over man. But in righteousness, a man is delivered from Satan's dominion and he's translated out of the kingdom of darkness, put in the kingdom of God. And that's what we got when we were born again. Jesus became all that we were. He identified with us. If you look up the word identity, it comes from a Greek word that means the same as, identical, or identification. Jesus became the same thing we were. He became sin. And he came under the power and dominion of Satan because the wages of sin is death, which also includes spiritual death, which it means under Satan's dominion. I know we're going a little deeper into the word today, but this is the reality. See, a lot of times we read the death, burial, and resurrection in the Gospels, and the Gospels do not reveal the full revelation of what was happening behind the scenes. The Gospels are basically sense knowledge about what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection. The epistles are revelation knowledge. The Gospels are a photograph of the death, burial, and resurrection. And we need that information. Don't misunderstand me. But the epistles are an X-ray of the death, burial, and resurrection. And you'll stay a baby Christian if you only read about the death, burial, and resurrection in the Gospels. You have to come over into the epistles and find out what really happened. What was God doing in the resurrection? Notice what he wrought. He wants us to know the power to usward, which in verse 20, he wrought in Christ. God was doing something in Christ. He was working something out. What was he doing? He was raising Jesus from the dead. Yes, he was. And seating him far above. Yes, he was. But then it said he was made the head and put all things under Jesus' feet. Feet are in the body. He put all things under Jesus' feet, and he became the head. We are members of the body. And he did it for the church's sake. We got a joint account of everything God did in Christ. In other words, if Jesus got victory over Satan and was raised far above Satan, so were we. So were we. Because we got a joint account. We are joint heirs. Let me ask you a question. If you go down to the bank and you open an account, you don't open one account for your head and another account for your body. Do you? No. This is you. The whole body is you, not just the head. This is not just Pastor Jay and this is Pastor George. Amen. My whole body is Pastor Jay. Isn't that right? And so whenever I open a bank account, I open an account for the whole being. When God opened a bank account and put to Jesus' account the victory that he won over Satan, and that when the power raised him from the dead and defeated Satan and hell, God put that to your account. It belongs to you. The power that did that belongs to you. The victory over Satan belongs to you. Not only did Jesus raise from the dead and become victorious over Satan, but you were raised. Okay, keep reading. Chapter 1. Far above all principality. Chapter 1, verse 21. God raised him and us far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Those all the forces of darkness that arrayed against Jesus to try to keep him from raising from the dead. All those forces were splattered against the walls of hell, totally annihilated and defeated. They doesn't mean they don't exist, but they were stripped of their authority over Jesus and us. They were stripped of that authority. And Jesus spoiled them. We'll read that in a minute. But he raised Jesus far above all these forces of darkness and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. We were just talking about that. Gave him to be the head. We were just talking about that. Over all things for the benefit of the church. Listen very carefully. Which is his body. See, that's the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Members of the body. And the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Oh my goodness. Quickened means made alive. So when Jesus was made alive, you were too. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were, past tense, dead. Somebody said, well, I was never dead. Wait a minute. He's not talking about physical death. You were dead, and I was dead, in trespasses and sins. That's a different kind of death, isn't it? This is what we call spiritual death, which is not physical death. See, physical death got into the earth only because man died spiritually. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and you find God saying, don't eat of that tree, said Adam and Eve. Don't eat of that tree. The day, not tomorrow, not the day after, but the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Adam and Eve ate of that fruit and didn't die physically for over 900 years. Whoops, God made a mistake. He said something that wasn't true. He said they were going to die that day. Wait a minute, God can't lie. They died that day. They died. There wasn't a physical death that day. That took 900 some years. But they died that day spiritually. And we have evidence of it in the next few verses. Whenever God came to fellowship with them, they were afraid and they hid themselves. See, something had happened. They were now out of fellowship with God. That's what death means. It means separation from God, for separation of man's spirit from God. It means taking on the nature of sin, coming under the dominion of Satan. The Bible says Satan's the god of this world. All who are spiritually dead are under the dominion of Satan, the god of this world. That's not popular today, but that's the fact. That's the fact. Amen. And so the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Now that sin, death, I should say, is not physical, first of all, it's spiritual. The wages of sin is spiritual death. Physical death would never have come into the world if man had not died spiritually. Man was never intended. Man was never created to die physically. Adam would be alive today if he had not died spiritually. Amen. He was not created to die physically. He died eventually physically because he, that day he ate of the fruit, died spiritually. You understand? And so these things, physical death is the result of. So, but Jesus, notice it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you hath he made alive. Quicken means made alive. Who were dead. You weren't dead physically. Probably very few of anybody that I'm that's watching me today has ever been dead physically. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now notice, in this spiritual death, in this condition of spiritual death, in time past, we were spiritually dead. We walked according to the course of this world. Look at this. The prince, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, that's the demon spirit, Satan, that now works in the children of disobedience. You and I were in that condition. We were under Satan's dominion. That prince of the power of the air was over us, ruling over us. And we walked according to that spirit's dictates in rebellion against God. But it says, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Listen very carefully. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened means made alive. Quickened alive spiritually. Made us quickened. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen. And hath raised us. Who? Jesus? Yes, but us. Raised us up together, raised us up together with, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Oh my goodness. The gospel has not even half been preached yet in the body of Christ. This resurrection was not just Jesus' resurrection, it was our resurrection. What was God working out? What was God doing? What happened when God raised Jesus from the dead? What's the big deal other people have raised from the dead? The big deal is what God was doing in Christ, he was doing for every man. He was making available to every man. It comes into our lives through faith. We can see that through all these verses. It mentions faith. And so whenever these verses after Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, whenever these verses are read closely, we see that it was the us to gospel. In other words, the good news of what Jesus got in his death, burial, and resurrection was for us too. Are you out there? It was not just something being done for Jesus. It was not just him being raised victorious over the forces of darkness. It was not just him being seated far above. It was not just him way up there in victory over all the powers that try to oppose him. It is us. Hallelujah. I said it's us. It's us. This power is directed toward us. To seat us far above the forces of darkness. In other words, anything that opposes us in this life, we have the power to conquer it, to tread it down. That's the life that we have. We've been delivered from the authority of darkness, Colossians chapter number 1 says, and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. These forces of darkness that rule over man and cause sickness and cause bondage and torment and oppression in his mind and make him a sinner and make him do things he hates himself for doing, that power, all those forces, all that power of darkness has been defeated, and man, the prison door of sin and Satan's bondage is open. and man, and Jesus has the keys of death and of hell, and he gave us the right, and he unlocked death and hell, and gave, it's an open jail cell that man sits in today, bound by sin and sickness and oppression and all those things, fear, all those things. It's an open jail cell. Jesus has the keys. He unlocked the prison house of Satan's bondage and death, and opened it for all mankind, and allows all mankind to walk out freely and become born again and be delivered from the forces of darkness. In Revelation chapter 1, when John saw him, he appeared to John and he said, I am he that was dead and alive. I have the keys of death and hell. Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own house. He can't lock a single man that puts his faith in Jesus in spiritual death. He can't hold a single man in sin. He can't hold a single man in the bondage of sickness, oppression, torment, or in any way, any kind of lack of peace or anything. Jesus gave every man what he got at the resurrection. The power is available to translate your life, transfer you out of darkness and the bondage of sin. Can you say amen out there? In the Bible, we read that Paul said something like this in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. We don't see in the history of the resurrection, when we read the Gospels, we don't see Paul there on one of those crosses. It was Jesus and two other men. But Paul wasn't there on any of those crosses. But he said, I was crucified with Christ. See, God gave Paul the in Christ revelation. And what he had revelation of is what I was speaking of a few moments ago. He had revelation of identification and substitution. In other words, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I'll refer to it here in another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14, the love of Christ constraineth us because we judge that if one died for all, then all died. Notice that. One for all. One for all. Then we read in another place, I don't have the reference right here in front of me, as in Adam, all died, so in Christ, all are made alive. You know what that is? That's identification, and that's substitution. In other words, one doing it for all. One, Jesus, for making man right. One, Jesus did what he did for all. He wasn't just doing it for himself. How many of you know he was seated in heaven doing fine and dandy before he came down here, walked this earth, became as a man, and then humbled himself to obedience to death on the cross to become our substitute and identify with us. He's doing fine before he did all that. And he didn't have to pay the price for his own sin. He had not sinned. But he took our sin. What is that? That's he's becoming our substitute. Like I said, he did not die as a martyr. People say that he was a martyr. He did not die as a martyr. He died as our substitute. What he did, he was doing for every man. And what God was doing for him, God was doing for every man. What he wanted to do for every man, he did it in one man who was their substitute. Any man who today comes and says, I identify with Christ and I put my faith in him and I reckon myself dead and I put my faith in the work that God was doing in Christ, instantly that man is identified as one with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And what Jesus got in the resurrection, that man is, it is instantly put to that man's account. And he becomes a joint heir with Jesus Christ in all he got. That power that raised Jesus from the dead instantly comes into that man's life to live a victorious life over sin, over spiritual death, over fear, over bondage, over torment, over sickness, over poverty, over everything that is universally known as the condition of mankind in sin. Jesus identified, one translation says, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, one translation says, Jesus identified with everything in the whole realm of sin. He identified with everything. That means everything that got into mankind's condition because of sin. Jesus identified with all of it. Why did he identify with all of it? So that God could do for every man what God did for Jesus in raising him up out of that. Am I in the right room? Am I preaching okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. So what Jesus got, we got. Now, you read, or you watch people put on the passion play and so forth. Not so much of it today because of the, churches not being open. But so many times, you know what I'm talking about. People put on a passion play. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the story. And they'll play it out on a stage. And they'll try to get in that play, they'll try to get the audience that's watching to identify with certain ones in the play. And they'll say, you know, you were one of those in the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him. You understand? Or you were one of those thieves on the cross or something. Well, Paul said, whenever he saw when he got a revelation, now the Gospels have sense knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection, but Paul got revelation. God gave him an x-ray of what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection, and God showed him that it wasn't just Jesus, it was Paul. In other words, it was all of us. And so when Paul writes in his Gospels, he said, I was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ. Here in Ephesians, he said, I was raised up together. I was made to sit together in Ephesians 2 and verse number 6 and 7 there. I was raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places, far above. Where Jesus is, far above. I was there. So when you look at the passion play, somebody putting on a passion play, don't try to identify with one saying crucify him, or the one saying one on the or one of the thieves on the cross. You identify with Jesus himself. He was the one being your substitute. Can you say amen? So as a believer in Christ, you have the identical life. You have the identical same spirit as Jesus, as raised Jesus from the dead. You ever read that? The Bible said, let's turn to that in Romans. Let's look at something here. Romans chapter number, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 11. It says, if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the one that dwells in you. That's what it means to have an is to be identified with Christ. He identified with us in the realm of sin, everything we had, that we might be identified with him and everything he got in his resurrection. And whenever he raised from the dead, we were identified as being the ones raising from the dead. When he died for the penalty of our sin, God identified and said, they're dying for the penalty of their sin. Because it was our sin that was on Jesus. So he was doing it for us. I said he was doing it for us. God identified us with him that we might be identified with him and what he got whenever he raised from the dead. And so we have the identical life, the identical death, really, to sin. We have the identical resurrection. We have the identical spirit that raised him from the dead. We have the same righteousness. We have the same victory. We have the same blessing. We got it all. The same thing Jesus got. That's why we're heirs of God and joint heirs. Is this coming clear yet? And so the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And he died the same death. We died the same death. We raised together as one. And we're the same with him. And we're seated together in the same seat with him. The Bible said there in Ephesians. You remember we said that it said there he's raised us up together? There in Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's read it again. I just want to keep going over it because eventually these things sink in. If you just kind of skim over the surface, people don't get it. But I'm digging down. Verse 6, and raised us up together. Raised us together with Christ. And where did he raise to? It says in verse 21 of chapter 1, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. In other words, right now, today, they're under every believer's feet. Coronavirus is included in that. Are you out there? And we're far above it. It wasn't just him that was raised. We were raised. But it says, and raised us up together, chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Where is that? Far above. Amen. And so we're above it. We're not down in the battle. We're up in the victory. Amen. We're not trying to get the victory today. Those that don't have their minds renewed to the revelation of in Christ, they're trying to get victory. But those who have a revelation that Jesus identified with us and became our substitute, and everything he did, he was doing for us, and God sees us as having done it, then they're not trying to get the victory. They have the victory because we are already seated. Notice it didn't say, and he's going to seat us. It says, he hath, that means has already. Has already. You're seated right now today, far above all the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. The Lambach, I believe is the way you pronounce it, L-A-U-B-A-C-H, translation of Galatians 2:20. Christ took me to the cross with him and died there with him. And I died there with him. I was there. Woo, glory to God. That's the simplest understanding of Christianity, is identification. Amen. Praise God. Now, Jesus identified with everything in the whole realm of sin, and he did that so that we could be identified with him in what he got in his resurrection. Now, I want you to go to Colossians chapter number 2. I'm not going to take a lot more time here. We're going to wrap this up. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's go back and read verse 14. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. This is what Jesus did on the cross, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. You with me? Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers. Hallelujah. What does that mean? He's talking about those same forces of darkness that we read about in Ephesians 1 and raised us far above principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. He's talking about the forces of Satan. He's talking about Satan himself and all of Satan's forces. Can you say amen? Now, what was God working on? God was working on defeating Satan and delivering us from him. That's what it means when it says he spoiled principalities and powers. Satan today is under your feet. Right now. Right now. Every believer has a higher position of authority over Satan than Satan has. He doesn't have any authority over them. We were raised and Satan was defeated. Satan has no authority over us. Amen. And so everything God did for Christ, when Jesus defeated Satan, we defeated Satan. He was doing it for us. Isn't that right? And so everything God did in Christ, this is what he wanted to do for every man. And so he did it for you and I, and God put it down to our account. So what was he working on in the resurrection? He was working on getting all these things to you. This victory over Satan. He's working on getting that to you. He's working on raising you from spiritual death. He was working on giving you victory in life. He's working on getting you the power that gives you that keeps you free from all the forces of darkness. And it all works through faith. Yeah, but that's what God was doing. That's what he was working on. He was working on getting all these things to you. And Jesus was just acting as your representative in it. Amen? We were there in him. That's what the Bible says. We became one with him, and he became one with us. Now, you see, Jesus carried something. And we're going to finish up on this Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Finish up looking at this. He spoiled principalities and powers. And it says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. I've looked in many translations to read that where it says he spoiled principalities and powers. Listen very carefully. The Weymouth translation says he stripped off of himself these principalities and powers. He stripped off of himself. 20th century New Testament, he rid himself. Talking about these principalities and powers, he rid himself of their power. New English Bible, he discarded them. Amen. What, these principalities and powers that dominated him? You understand that Jesus was he's taking our place, and he became our substitute, and he, so therefore Satan was allowed to have dominion over him only for 3 days. You understand? But see, he was taking our place. But when he raised from the dead, he stripped off those powers that were holding him. He rid himself of them, and he discarded them. Amen. Now, we listen very carefully, because that's a little different than what we've taught so much. We've taught that he spoiled principalities and powers, and that means that he got everything from Satan that belonged to us. And that's exactly what happened. But there's more that happened. There's so much more that happened. Are you with me? You have to pay very close attention in order to catch this. You see, in hell, Jesus, let's say it this way, Jesus carried something into hell in his death and his, whenever he went into hell. He carried something into hell. He carried something out of hell in his resurrection. Pay very close attention. You'll get this. He exchanged in hell what he got from us for what the devil had stolen from us. Now, we're not skimming across the top of the word here this morning. We're going on down deep into the word. Now, let me back up and explain to you what I mean whenever I say Jesus carried something into hell in his death. What did he carry into hell in his death? We know he carried our sin, didn't he? He carried everything in the whole realm of sin. He carried everything in the whole realm of sin. That means sickness. The Bible says that God, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. What I'm preaching this morning has power in it. It's the power of God. Now notice what it's to. Unto what? Salvation. Somebody said that's the new birth. Well, the word salvation in the whole New Testament is translated saved, yes, meaning the new birth. But it's also translated delivered. It's translated healed. It's translated in the New Testament saved, delivered, healed. It's translated some other ways, rescued. So forth and so on. So when you got saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Your salvation does not just mean the new birth. It means the power of God is for everything that belongs to you in Christ. And that includes healing. That's the power of God. It's for healing. It's for delivering you from bondages. It's for delivering you. Amen. And so when Jesus carried our sin into hell, he carried all our bondages. Everything in the whole realm of sin. He carried our sickness. He carried our shame. He carried condemnation. He carried defeat. He carried poverty. He carried spiritual death. He carried bondage to Satan. Amen. He all carried all that into hell because the scripture showed us that all these things were laid on him. Isaiah talks about God laying these things on him. He had that laid on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him to be sin for us who know no sin. So all these things were laid on him. They were only on him for 3.5 days. 3 days. Amen. But they were laid on him. So he carried something into hell in his death. What did he carry? All our sin and everything in the whole realm of sin. All that it brought. Bondage, everything. All that was carried into hell. But when I said he carried something out of hell in his resurrection, what am I talking about? Hey, well, I'm talking about what Jesus got from Satan that Satan had stolen from us. Jesus spoiled these forces of darkness. He, the Bible says in the Genesis, that there's one coming. This was a prophecy of Jesus. There's one coming. He was prophesying to Satan, talking to Satan. There's one coming that's going to bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. So Jesus stomped on Satan in hell, bruised his head, defeated him, took the keys of death and hell from Satan. He no longer has the right to hold you in spiritual death or take people to hell. Are you with me? And he no longer, and Jesus spoiled him. You read that, you know, that word spoiled, it means a couple of things. We read one side of it here. We're going to get to the other side. And that means he stripped all his armor. He took all Satan had. And the Bible said in the book of Isaiah chapter number 53, he divided the spoil with the numerous and with the many. Jesus conquered hell, took from Satan what Satan had stolen from us way back in the garden in Adam, and he conquered Satan, stripped everything that Satan had stolen from us. That means all the blessings. That means our right standing with God. That means the blessing of Abraham that makes us rich. That means freedom from shame. That means deliverance from Satan's bondage. Jesus defeated all that, stripped it all from him, and carried it out of hell and brought it back to us. Oh, glory to God. That's what I'm talking about when I said Jesus carried something into hell in his death, and he carried something out of hell in his resurrection. In hell, he exchanged what he got from us for what the devil had stolen from us. He carried into hell our sin, our sickness, our shame, our defeat, our poverty, condemnation, death, bondage to Satan, and so forth and so on. He carried all that into the hell because the scripture said it was all laid on him. But when he raised from the dead, he no longer had it on him. That's what it means when these translations say he stripped off of himself. He rid himself. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me. He discarded all these things. Those forces of darkness. They were on him because they had a right to be on him, because he was becoming our substitute, and that was what belonged to us. And Jesus was taking our penalty. That belonged to us, but Jesus took it on himself and said, I'll take their sin, I'll take their shame, I'll take their condemnation, I'll take their broken fellowship with God, I'll take it all. And whenever he went into hell, he had on him everything that belonged to us. He had shame on him. But whenever he came out of there, he stripped all that off. The power that raised Jesus from the dead hit Jesus in hell and splattered demons against the wall. And God said, it is enough. The Bible said in Isaiah, he saw the travail of Jesus' righteous soul and was satisfied. The word satisfied is enough. You're at Thanksgiving dinner and somebody tries to pass you a third helping of mashed potatoes and you say, I've had enough. What are you saying? I'm satisfied. I've had enough. When Jesus taking for us in hell for 3 days, he saw that penalty on Jesus. He said, I'm satisfied. That's enough. There's no more need for offering for sin. That's the final payment. I don't need man to make amends for his sin anymore. The amends have been made. The price has been paid. All the penalty has been paid for 3 days. Jesus rightly can be raised from the dead because it wasn't his penalty. It was man's penalty. And he doesn't belong in there because he didn't sin. And he became our substitute. And the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead hit Jesus. And demons splattered against the wall. And Jesus came up out of there. And before he left, he said, I got something to get off of me. And he got off shame, condemnation, bondage, torment, and everything that was on him. And he said, I got something I got to take out of here. And that's everything Satan stole from mankind. He grabbed the keys of death and hell. He took sin. Satan took our, made us sinners. And took our righteousness. And so Jesus got our righteousness back. Jesus got our healing back. Jesus got everything back. And everything Satan had put on him, because he was our substitute, Jesus stripped all that off. Now listen to me very carefully. He stripped off all these things off of himself. But remember, it was ours that was on him. And so he not only stripped it off of himself, whenever he stripped it off of himself, since it was ours, he was stripping it off of us. You've been delivered from the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. You've been delivered from authority, from Satan's authority over you. He no longer has the right. There's enough power in what I'm preaching right now to stand up and say, I'm healed right now. I got the healing. Healing's mine. Jesus stripped sickness off of me and he got it back from me. Got my healing back from me. Amen. He spoiled these forces of darkness, and everything Satan had stolen from us, Jesus got it back. All the loot. When Satan conquered mankind, when Satan conquered Adam and stole everything that Adam had, including dominion over the whole earth, God had given man dominion. God said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. When Adam sinned, he lost that dominion. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the god of this world. And whenever Jesus defeated Satan, he no longer has the right to dominate us. God gave man dominion back. And that's why Jesus raised from the dead and said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He gave that authority back to man. And he said, heal the sick, raise the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so fellowship with God was restored. Man's authority over Satan was restored. The joy of the Lord is yours again. The peace that passes all understanding is yours again. Hallelujah. Healing is yours again. Soundness of mind is yours again. Praise God. The keys to Satan's jailhouse are yours again. He said, they're given to me. Go ye therefore. He gave us those keys. Praise be to God. And you have right standing with God. Jesus divided those spoils with you. Hallelujah. And so praise God. Jesus went into hell as a Trojan horse. He went in there to defeat hell. You remember the story of the Trojan horse? That Trojan horse was thought to be a gift of peace to the enemy. And they opened the gates of their city and brought the Trojan horse in. But inside of that horse was something that was going to defeat the whole city. The army was in there. And so they opened that door in the nighttime and they came out and defeated the city. And Jesus went into the hell as a Trojan horse. He went in there to conquer hell. He went in there, and if the enemy had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He would not have taken Jesus into hell. If he'd have known what was happening, he would not have done it. But see, he didn't know. He didn't know. Thank God he didn't know. And so Jesus he went in there to conquer hell, and in him was all of us. Just like in that Trojan horse was all the army, in Jesus was all of us. When he went in there and conquered hell, all of us went in there to conquer hell. Hallelujah. I preach to you the simplest form of the gospel. And that is the simple message of substitution and identification. Everything that we were, he identified with, so that we could become everything that he was and we could identify with him. He did it as our substitute. Hallelujah. Father God, your word is a lamp to us. It enlightens us. You're not dealing with a single born-again person as defeated today. You're dealing with every single person as having already conquered all the forces of hell. Lord, teach us to rise up and walk as who we are. And to not see ourselves. See, that's the battle, Father. We don't see ourselves like you see us. Help us to renew our minds. To think like your word shows us. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So that we see ourselves right. Because Lord, if we see ourselves wrong, we're going to act wrong. We're going to act like we're still defeated. We're going to act like we're not free yet. We're going to try to get free. But Father God, open our eyes. Show us that we are free now. And we're not waiting for you to do anything. But we rise up today. And take our place in faith and believe the gospel, believe the word of God and act on it. And we thank you, Father, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, like it says in 1 Peter, that power will keep us. We're kept by the power of God as it's activated through faith. Hallelujah. We say right now, healings are taking place through this live stream. I release that power through this broadcast. To heal those who need healing. Just raise up your hand towards the screen that you're watching. Receive that power that raised Jesus from the dead to heal your body. Receive it now. I release it by faith. And you right now receive it into your body by faith. It's yours. Amen. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. If you're bound by some kind of habit, some kind of torment, some kind of addiction, receive the power. Receive the message right now that you're free, that you're delivered, that Jesus stripped that off of you. It has no power over you any longer. And begin to say, I'm free. Say it right there. I'm free. This thing is under my feet. It has no dominion over me now. I am free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank Him right there. Begin to praise Him. That's how we release the power of God. And let God's power move in every area of your life. It's directed towards us. We take it by faith and direct it towards the areas of our life that need it. You need some resurrection in your finances. Receive that power right there where you are. Receive that anointing that brings your finances, listen to this, back to where they belong. Remember, Jesus, He had a rightful place at the right hand of the Father. That's not where He was. He's down there paying our penalty. But the power raised Him from the dead and put Him back in His rightful place. Put Him back at the right hand of the Father. That's where He belonged. Well, see, there's places we belong. There's places we belong. And we belong free from bondage to poverty. We belong in abundance. That power is what does it. Receive that power. And say, it's mine. It's the power to get wealth. It's mine now in order to restore me financially. Hallelujah. Glory.